So they've closed their eyes, they've stopped up their ears, and Jesus says here, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. So Jesus is the light, and he has not been hidden. He's been doing all of his works. He's been teaching. He's been doing it, all of it in public. Crowds of people have heard him and have seen him. And yet, even though he has not been hidden, many have rejected him and have rejected his message. And as John goes on to say in his opening statement in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So that is why Jesus says what he does here in verses 34 and 35. He was the light of the world, the light of life. He was shining forth the truth of God with his teaching and calling people to follow him. And yet, overall, he was rejected by the people. No more so than by those who were considered to be the religious leaders of the people. The very ones who you would think would have recognized who he was and rejoiced at his coming. Yet, it says, they did not receive him. So why? Why didn't they receive him? Why, when they looked at Jesus and his works, would they not only not receive him, but then claim that he was of the devil, casting out demons by the prince of demons? What you see when you look at Jesus is the most important thing about you. It reveals whether or not you are under the influence of evil or if you are under the powerful grace of God. Look what that says in verse 34. Your eye is a lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. So Jesus here uses an illustration to reveal the great problem that he was seeing in the responses that the people had towards him and his ministry. We remember how this discussion all started back in verses 14 through 16. Jesus had just cast out a demon from a man who was mute because of demonic oppression. He restored the man's ability to speak. It was an amazing work, for it says the people marveled at it, but some of them attributed his power and authority to the work of Satan, to Beelzebul, another name for Satan, the devil, who is the great enemy of God and his people. So they looked at Jesus, they saw what he did, and they believed that what they were seeing was not good, but it was actually evil. They were convinced that Jesus was not doing the work of God, but of the devil. So in verse 34, Jesus says, if that is the conclusion that they were coming to when they see him, well, then there must be something wrong with their eyes. Not their physical eyes, of course, but their spiritual eyes. They aren't able to recognize that Jesus is doing the works of God. When they see him, therefore, something is wrong with them. Their eyes, their spiritual eyes, are bad. But here's where we need to do a little work on these words that are used to describe the eyes here in this verse. The translation I'm using, the ESV, has either healthy or bad for the spiritual eyesight here in verse 34, but the word translated as healthy literally means single. Single, as in without duplicity. The person is not of two minds about Jesus, but they recognize that he is of God, that he is the one who saves, that they see his glory. They aren't questioning it at all. They aren't demanding him to provide a sign from heaven to prove his claims. Their eye is single. As J.C. Ryle said, it sees one mighty object, the love of Christ for dying sinners. It has one mighty aim, the glory to glorify God and to do his will. It has one mighty desire to please God and to be commended by him. The word that then describes the opposite of single is more literally here evil or actively wicked, not just bad, as many modern translations have it. It's the same word used back in verse 29 for the evil generation. So this is again a description of those who look at Jesus and instead of seeing light, they believe they see darkness. It is those who look at what is good and righteous and call it evil and wrong. They also consider what is really evil, that is, you know, like for example, calling Jesus, who is the Son of God, the devil, And they say, that's actually something good and right to do. So that's the problem. Jesus says that the problem that people have who look at him and don't recognize the light is that they are wicked. They are sinful. They are in the darkness. And the tragedy of this is many of them don't really even know that. They don't realize it. So think about this, friends. For the great majority of people, when they look at Jesus, they don't see his glory. Maybe they think he was a good teacher. Maybe they think he was a good man. Maybe they think he did a lot of good things. They might even say, well, yeah, sure, he was God in the flesh. But their lives are not changed by him at all. That is, they're not listening to his words and keeping them. The light in them then is still darkness. And many others look at Jesus and they quite honestly say they want no part of him. They want no part of his word or his teaching. They think what Jesus says about human life, about sex, about death and judgment is wrong and backwards, and they would prefer to have Jesus not have any influence over them at all. And Jesus says here that there's something deadly and wrong with their spiritual eyes. The light that they think that they have is actually darkness. It is evil, and they are under the condemnation of God. Now, the Apostle Paul explains this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We looked at this, I think, a few weeks ago. I want to turn back there again this morning. It really helps us. So 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, in their case, Paul's talking about unbelief. In their case, the god of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Rejection of Christ is due to being blinded by the ruler of this world, this present darkness, Satan. It also means indifference to Christ is caused by the same spiritual blindness. They aren't able to see Christ for who he really is. So Christ warns us in Luke 11:35, therefore be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. You may think you have light in you, but if it isn't leading you to worship Christ as God, if it isn't leading you to listen to his word and to adjust your life according to it, if it isn't leading you to share how awesome Jesus Christ is with others, well, the light in you is probably darkness. So how can someone who is spiritually blind see the true light of Christ? Back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So like my daughter Betty said the other day, when our eyes are closed, it's dark. But who can open the eyes of hearts that are blind? If the spiritually blind are going to be able to see the light of Jesus Christ, their eyes will need to be opened. And Paul says, God is in the business of doing that very thing. When you or I are sharing about Christ with a neighbor or a loved one, when we are sharing God's word with somebody, maybe in a Sunday school class or in a Bible study or just with your Bible open at a dinner table, God can give the word to that person. He can give that word that says, let light shine out of darkness. And through that word can shine in the hearts of the spiritually blind, and light can come in. And they'll be given sight to see the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Once Christ shines his light within the heart of a sinner, when they receive that light, that miracle takes place. Jesus says, The whole body will be full of light, having no part dark. It will be wholly bright. So what do you see when you look at Jesus? How are you seeking to shine his light in the lives of others? We have to recognize our need for him, that without him we are in the darkness. In fact, we're full of darkness. But by an amazing act of grace from God, light can shine in our dark hearts when we hear the wonderful saving work of Jesus Christ for sinners like us that's revealed in his word. As we approach the table, I'll invite our men who help serve us this morning. We recognize that this is showing us, it represents the great work that God has done through Jesus to make it so we can be at peace with him. To make it so that anyone can receive the light of Christ. Christ came. God sent his Son to the world. And Christ perfectly fulfilled all of the righteous requirements of the law on our behalf, that we, being people full of darkness, couldn't do. And through Christ, in laying down his life on the cross, through Christ, he's able to save you and I from our sins, paying for those sins for us on that cross. He gave his body, he shed his blood, and because of his great work of salvation, we can be with God forever. We can have that peace with God, that shalom with God forever. And we see what Jesus did. We see his glory revealed in the gospel, and light comes. Light shines on us. I'll ask the men to come forward who will help me serve this morning. And I'll read the instructions given to us here from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on that night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Again, revealing to us this is the reason for why we take this meal as often as we do. To proclaim the Lord's death, the saving work of God on our behalf. But Paul also gives us a warning here. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's just a warning for us, similar to the warning that Jesus gave. If you look on Jesus and you don't see salvation, you don't see the one that you need for peace with God, you're not putting your hope in Christ. Instead, you're putting it in yourself or in some other way. Well, then the Lord's table then is not for you. So just pass on the cup to somebody else, because it doesn't belong to you yet. But if you put your hope in Christ as your way to heaven, as your way to God, the only way, then this meal definitely is for you. And we invite you to take part in it and to celebrate with us. Ask the men to rise here. Again, we have the wrapped up cups with the wafer. So be careful as you open them. I'm going to take mine now so I can work on that to get it open. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word that we've heard, the word of the gospel. We thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to save us. And Lord, now as we take part in this meal together, we recognize our great need for salvation through Jesus, that he had to die on a cross, a gruesome, terrible death to absorb our condemnation, so that we can stand before you as righteous in your sight, free of sin and free of the penalty for sin. So thank you, O Lord. Help us to worship you and proclaim the glory of the Lord Jesus this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. On the night when our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, this bread is given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And then after they had eaten, our Lord then took the cup. He said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless for the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.